Happy Father's Day
to all of our fathers. You know, I used to say that and have not a clue what I was talking about. But now I've been a father for how long, Mandy? 37 years? No, 30. 33 years. I'm getting ahead of myself. She'll think I did that on purpose. But I understand fatherhood a little better than I did the first time I preached the Father's Day message. You know, I wouldn't do it for a long time. Even before Pat and I married, our preacher would be gone on Father's Day, and I would be the one to preach the Father's Day sermon. And I would get up there and acted like I knew exactly what I was talking about, and I didn't have a clue. And I realize that now. But we do want to wish our fathers a very happy Father's Day, and we hope that you will have a wonderful day with your family and that you will enjoy your time with them. You know, fatherhood is a wonderful part of life. It really is. Fatherhood has definitely changed over the years. If I were to go back and preach that first Father's Day sermon that I preached years and years ago, if I were to do it according to society, I'd have to make some changes, because things have definitely changed in society. Now, I want to tell you this morning, I don't think God's perception of fatherhood has changed at all. In fact, I know that it hasn't changed at all, because we have examples of it in the Scripture, and they're still there, and we're going to talk about one in particular this morning. You know, this morning I want to talk about the blessing. Blessing that came from a father. It went to the wrong son, but it came out of love and care from a father. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 27. I won't put the scriptures up on the screen because it is a lengthy story, and I will be referring to this chapter 27 all the way through the lesson this morning. But if you'd like to turn over to Genesis 27, we're going to look at the story of Isaac as he bestows the blessing on Jacob. Of course, this blessing by right should have gone to the oldest son, Esau. But through the deception of Jacob and his mother, Rebekah, this blessing was given to Jacob instead. Now, you may remember that Isaac and Rebekah had twin sons, Esau and Jacob. And they were absolutely nothing alike. Esau was an outdoorsman. He was a hairy man, arms and legs, hands hairy. He loved to hunt, he loved to fish. He might have been today classified as one of the good old Georgia rednecks, I don't know. In Alabama, we didn't have rednecks, we had hillbillies. Jacob was right the opposite. He was what we would refer to today as a mama's boy. He stayed around the house and he learned the things from her that she thought was important for him to know. He was right the opposite. He was smooth-skinned. He was fair-skinned. The two could not have been put together as twins. Now, in the 27th chapter of Genesis, Isaac has grown old. Isaac has become blind. He decides now is the time for him to pass the blessing on to his eldest son. And remember, this is supposed to be Esau. Now, the father's blessing, it is a formal thing. It is the passing on of the father's honor and authority to his oldest son. He was also to receive, the son was also to receive a double share of the father's possessions. So this was a very important event in the lives of the people who practiced this. Now in verse 2 through 4, it says that Isaac calls Esau into the tent where he is. And he tells him to go into the field and hunt game and prepare for him a savory meal. And he would give it to him, and when he gave it to him, that Esau would give to him the blessing. Now, while Esau is gone, The mother, Rebekah, devises a plan to secure this blessing for the younger son, Jacob, who was her favorite. So she quickly prepares a savory meal that Isaac likes and tells Jacob to go put on Esau's clothes. And she puts goat skin on Jacob's hands and arms to make him feel hairy the way Esau feels. Jacob goes in, and when this is done, and he goes to his father and he says, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." Now Isaac was suspicious because he knew the voice of Esau and he knew the voice of Jacob. And he was hearing the voice of Jacob. So Isaac felt of Jacob's hands, and they were hairy like Esau. So Isaac blesses Jacob. Now again, please understand, this is a deception. This blessing was intended for Esau. The blessing that was given to Jacob was monumental. Isaac's blessing to Jacob contained ingredients that I think needs to be present today in every home. And that's what I want to talk about today. And when we practice these things consistently, our children will grow up solid. They will grow up secure. They will grow up confident. And they will be able to go out into the world and function properly if they put these things that I'm about to talk about into practice. So this morning I want to share with you the ingredients of the Father's blessing to the Son. Number one, the meaningful touch. Now in verse 26, it says, "Then his father Isaac said to him, 'Come here, my son, and kiss me.'" Now, this is not an isolated incident in Scripture. Almost every time that a blessing was bestowed in the Hebrew culture, it involved touching. It involved the laying on of hands, or it involved the kiss. It involved an embrace. It involved something that would convey acceptance and love. In Mark chapter 10, we read of where people bring their children to Jesus so that he may bless them. And we read about this, and Jesus took them and placed them on his knee and laid his hands upon them, and the scripture says that he blessed them. It involved a touching process. And I want to tell you, my friends, this is so important that we do that in our homes as well. You know, when children are very small, they can't communicate love with words because they don't understand words yet. But they do understand the touch. They understand the kiss, the embrace, the cuddling, the holding them close. Jacob was 40 years old when Isaac touched him and kissed him and conveyed to him the blessing. And I have to tell you, my friends, regardless of the age, I think it is so important that we continue to communicate love and affection in some meaningful way. You know, I never got too big to hug my daddy, and I'm very proud of that fact. And I remember the last time that I hugged my father. He was on a gurney being put into an ambulance to be taken to the hospital. A few minutes later, he died of a heart attack. And I will never forget that moment as long as I live. And I was so happy today that I could be there and I could give my daddy that hug. Some of y'all see this every week. When Philip goes back to Warner Robins, he leaves after church. He finds me and gives me a hug. Every time I separate from my daughter, I get a hug. Friends, that's the greatest thing that could ever happen in my life. don't ever get too big to love your daddy or your mother, because they have been such an important part of your life, the greatest part of your life outside of Christ that you could ever have. The first ingredient in Isaac's blessing to Jacob was that of a meaningful touch. Then, the second was a message of love and affection. In part of verse 27, Jacob says, or rather Esau says to his son, who he thinks, again, is Esau, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." Now, I don't know, that wouldn't be much of a compliment today, would it? If someone came up to you and said, you smell like dirt, we would usually say, go take a bath because you smell like dirt. But if you are an old outdoorsman like Isaac was, the smell of the field was a great smell. And he appreciated that. And he appreciated that in his son Esau. It was a compliment. It was a positive message that communicated his love for his son and his affection for his son. You see, too often today, parents are too quick to criticize their children. And they're constantly reminding their children of the mistakes that they made and all the things that they do that are wrong. And they may say something like, "Well, you dummy, why did you do that? Do you not have any sense at all? How can you think of such a thing after all of this that I have done for you? You're undependable, you're lazy, you're just plain worthless." I do hope I'm not striking home with anybody this morning with this, because this is not the way you treat your children. Words like this does not accomplish anything. Words like this do nothing more than to withdraw the child from you and to widen that gap that's obviously already there. Yes, we do need to give them constructive criticism. We do need to correct them when they're wrong. We need to move them from going in the wrong direction to the right direction. But it is so much more important that we do that through words of love. Yes, we can tell them of our disapproval. We can tell them of our disappointment. And we can criticize them for doing the wrong things. But we can do it out of love. And we can still do it in a way to tell them that you are a good child, that you have just made mistakes, and that you can communicate these things to them with love and compassion. And they need to be told this over and over again, that they are worthful. They are important. And you parents, think about it. There is not many things on this life that is more important than your children. And you need to tell them that. And better yet, show them that. The third ingredient goes along with the second one: an attitude of attributing a high value. Verse 28, notice what Isaac says. "May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine." And you know what he's telling here? He is saying, "You're special. You are so important. I love you so much. I want God to give you the very best in life. I want you to have the very best." You know, one thing my daddy told me, and I was still in high school when he said it. He says, "Son, I want you to do a lot better than I did in life." And I tried to convey that to my children as well. Who in this room does not want to see your children succeed? Who in this room does not want to see your children really do better than you have done? I think we would all want that for our children, because the love is there, the care is there. Many times, we need to do a better job at building up their self-esteem, their positive image in life. And I have to tell you, folks, this is something that you don't do just with words. You have to do it with action. You know, sometimes a child will come into us and they've got something to tell us and they've got something to show us, and we're just so busy. And my parents done this to me. I'd show my parents something that I had done.
Look what I done.
Uh-huh. And just keep right on with what they're doing. You know what you're doing here? You're slapping them in the face, folks. When you don't stop and give your child the attention that they need when they need it, you're hurting them in ways you probably have never thought about. When they come in here and you've got one eye on the TV and one eye on them, and you can't concentrate on what they're saying, and you can't concentrate on what the TV is saying, and you tell them to get out of your way because you're busy, you know what you've done again? You slapped them in the face. My friends, we need to put down the remote control. We need to put down the newspaper. We need to put down the cell phone. And we need to give time and attention to our children. Because believe you me, they can do a lot more for you than any television or any cell phone that's ever been built. And you need to know that. And I promise you that if you will spend the time with your child that they need, you will be amazed at the wonder that you will receive from watching them and being a part of their lives. Show them that they have a high value to you. The fourth ingredient was the picturing of a glorious future. In verse 29 of our text, Isaac says to Jacob, "May nations serve you, and people bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." Isaac is helping him to raise his insights, to help him see what is down that road, that it is something great that is down that road. You have a future. You're going places. You're doing things. You can be successful. And that goes back to wanting your children to have it better than you had it. I mean, it is an all-important responsibility that we have to our children. Now, we all know the passage from Proverbs 22 and verse 6. "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And you know, we've always given a spiritual application to that verse. This verse, I think, is talking about both physically and spiritually. We teach them how to succeed in life. That's the physical part. But we also teach them the ways of God, so that when they age, they will not forget it. But you know, we are here to help our children find their niche in life. We are here to help our children discover who they are. We need to help our children to understand the gifts and the talents that they have and help them develop them in such a way that they can be successful in life. Counsel them, guide them to become the kind of person that God wants them to be so they can enjoy life. Because I want to tell you, sometimes we go through life and we don't enjoy it. Now, one of the greatest days of my life was September 21st, 1984. That was the day I married my wife. The second great day of my life was October 21st, 1987. That was the birth of my daughter. Third great day in my life was November the 20th, 1989. That was the birth of my son. There have been no days in my life greater than these. But not everything in my life I have enjoyed. I worked for 20 years at a job that I did not like. My second job I did like, and they closed it down and I had to leave it. I really never enjoyed my work completely until January the 27th, 2002. That's the day I came here. Because now I enjoy what I do. It's not a job to me. I had a job before, but now I enjoy what I do, and it's not a job anymore. You see, we need to enjoy our life. And we need to teach our children to be what they want to be, what they can be, and what they will be happy at and can succeed in. And I want to do that by telling a couple of stories. In 1989, there was a movie that came out called Dead Poets Society. Has anyone ever seen that? Dead Poets Society? It's all about a boy who wanted to grow up to be an actor. And his father wanted him to be a doctor. And the father and son, as he grew up, went back and forth over this. Son said, "I want to be an actor." Dad said, "No, you're not. You're going to be a doctor." Well, when the boy was in school, he got involved in a play that was being done at the school. And his father reluctantly attended this play. The young boy turned out to be the absolute star of this play. He was great at it. He was the best anyone had ever seen at it. And when the play was over, he and he alone received the standing ovation from the crowd. You would think that dad would be happy, wouldn't you? "My son, look how successful he is. Look what great thing he has done." He was infuriated with this. And he went home and he told his son, "Boy, you are not going back to that school. I'm going tomorrow and I'm going to put you in a private school and we're going to prepare you to be a doctor. Period." 2 days later, they buried him. He went out and committed suicide. He could not see himself being what his daddy wanted him to be. Parents, your child's career is not yours to choose. Not at all. Yeah, you guide them. You give them information that can help them. But they have got to make their own choices in the life that they live, because you can't live their life. But you can help them make good decisions. Now, I know that's just a story. But is it? I wonder how many times people have forced their children to do what they wanted them to do. It made them choose a career that they wanted them to choose and not let that child live his or her own life. Maybe you've heard about this story. A little girl in New Mexico, her name was Sandra. She lived in a little adobe hut. She didn't have electricity. She didn't have running water. In fact, her mother and daddy had to go to El Paso, 200 miles away, so she could be born in a hospital. Because they lived so far away from any schools, Sandra was homeschooled by her parents. They ordered magazines to expose her to the outside world. She grew up in a very wholesome environment because they were very decent, moral people. And her fondest memories of a childhood was that on one occasion they took a vacation and they went through every state in the Union to the capitals, walked into the Capitol buildings to see how that state functioned and did its affairs. She said that was the greatest thing for her growing up. When Sandra graduated from high school, she got a scholarship to Stanford University, and she graduated with honors. Sandra Day O'Connor was the first woman to be seated on the United States Supreme Court. And the reason for that is because her parents gave her what she needed, not what they wanted her to have. Now, maybe our children aren't destined to have that kind of future. But you need to give them their own future. I think this blessing from Isaac is like concrete mortar. It will bind that child. It will give a foundation for that child. And it comes from a meaningful touch, a spoken message, an attributing of high value, and letting them know they can have a glorious future. You know, God is the perfect parent, and He has conveyed to us all of the ingredients that we need to raise our children. And He gave all the ingredients that He needed for His child in just one verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friends, this morning, God is offering you an invitation to give your life to the Lord. Whether you're young or whether you are old, God is the perfect parent. And He can help you as a parent. He can help you as a child to be the kind of person that you need to be and to go down the road that you need to go down. So this morning, my friends, you can make that decision and you can give your life to Him and let Him lead you and direct you. It may be that as a Christian that you have made some bad decisions. It may be that you have made bad decisions for your children, but you can get repentance of all of that and you can begin again. You may not be able to undo damage that you have done. But God has never asked us to undo anything. He's just asked us to start over. And we can all start over today and be what God wants us to be. Fathers, think about the tremendous task that you have as a father with your children. And this goes for mothers as well. They're equal in every way when it comes to parenthood. Be the kind of parents, kind of children, grandparents, friends, neighbors, that you need to be. We all influence each other. And we can be the right influence, but we can only do it with God's help. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.